Lift your glad voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen and man shall not die. Vain were the terrors that gathered around, assured the dominion of death and the grave. He burst from the fetters of darkness that bound, resplendent in glory to live, to save. Loud was the chorus of angels on high, the Savior hath risen and man shall not die. Glory to God in full anthems of joy, the evening gave us death cannot destroy. Sad were the but Jesus has cheered the dark valley of sorrow and made us immortal to heaven ascend. Lift then your voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story was precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story of sweetest that ever was heard.
Let's change keys and go up a little bit.
Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected and poor. Tell me the story. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he lived again. Loving the story so tender, stay with me while you wait.
may be seated. Good morning. You may turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. This morning we are rearranging things. Of course, everyone is rearranged, but we're also rearranged. We're singing praise songs sort of in the prelude and hymns through the message. So I will be up and down and words will come on up on the screen and you will join and sing and we'll go back and forth and hopefully it's not confusing and I don't trip. But it is for God's glory this morning. Just to also warn you, I will be reading in Scripture and I will be interrupted in recorded song. And I do this for emphasis, and I told him to do that on the loud end, but we didn't practice that. So hopefully it doesn't scare everybody. But anyhow, so you're prepared in case people jump. I will begin here reading in John chapter 20, and I will be reading and making comments and singing and back and forth like that. So let's ask God again to be with us this morning and to bless the reading of His Word. Dear God, it is again with anticipation that we stand and we come before You this morning on this, Your very special day, Your Easter Sunday. God, we are so thankful that we can celebrate this day without fear. God, we can stand, we can sing, we can worship, we can read Your Word, and we do not have to be afraid that anybody's going to come in the doors of this place, God. God, I know that there are many, many Christians around the world that are worshiping You in some sort of fear here, God. I just pray that You would be with them, that You would minister to them in a real way. God, help us to remember them. Help us to remember for all the privileges that You have given us, that we have freedom in this country to worship You as we please. And God, for many of us, that is the very reason that we are here, for a freedom to worship You. Help us to remember that. Help us to honor Your Word. Pray that, again, that You would bless it as it ministers to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went into the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him." And Peter, therefore, went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. And so they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. And so I had to ask, what did John see? What did he see? What is the big deal in verses 6 and 7? It says, and Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in its place by itself. So when John came in and saw that, that's all that's described to us. When John came in and saw that, he believed. And I don't think John understood everything that he believed, but he believed something. Something happened, miraculous. And to help us understand that a little more, I was given a few years ago by someone here some description of what that may have meant. And I didn't personally research it, but the person that gave me, I trust trustworthy, and it makes a great illustration. And you have to understand a little bit about Jewish table manners and what was expected and what happened in a Jewish home with a master and a servant. You see, as the master would be ready for the table, the servant would set it. Everything would be all ready, and everything would be in place on the table. The table would be furnished perfectly, and the servant would wait just around the corner, just on the edge of eyesight. And he would wait until the master had finished eating. And the servant would not touch the table until the master was finished. And in some historians, I've heard that it was that the servant could not eat until the master was finished, and then he would eat. But in the Jewish culture, there wasn't words for such a thing. And seeing if the master was truly done eating, he would rise from the table and he would wipe his fingers and he would wipe his mouth and he would clean his beard and he would wad up his napkin and he would toss it onto the table. And that was the signal that the servants, depending on how you read, were allowed to complete moving, or they were allowed to eat at that point. That was the signal. But if the master got up from the table and folded his napkin and laid it beside his plate, the servant would not touch the table, because it said, "I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming again." And so, this morning, it is appropriate that we sing together, and you may stand and sing this song, "Christ Arose."
Lo, in the grave He lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave He rose, with a mighty triumph for His glory.
Continuing on in John chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she supposed him to be the gardener, and said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. And as I read those verses, I prayed and I meditated and I read and I read and I said, "God, what do you have for us from these verses?" And there's two things that I saw, maybe for the first time, in this interaction between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And first, you know, I was almost upset at the way that Jesus hid himself when he talked to her. And what a play on emotions. It reads like Jesus was just trying to see what she would say. Right in the midst of her deepest grief, Jesus did not make her pain go away immediately. In our humanness, we see this as almost cruel. And yet we know that God our Father knows best. And Jesus could always quickly change how we feel, and he could quickly change our grief. And yet most often he chooses not to. And God cares for us so much. He gives us what will grow us closer to him way more than just what we want. God cares for us so much. He gives us what will grow us closer to him way more than just what we want. We must admit our short-sightedness from earth. And we must also humbly accept that God, our Father, sees far more and cares far more than what our feeble eyes and hearts ever can. God, our Father, knows best. And the second thing that I see in Jesus interacting with Mary Magdalene that first Easter morning is Jesus begins to explain by his actions. He begins to explain to his followers of that day and to us today that we will not always recognize him. I thought about the two men on the road to Emmaus immediately within the first week or days after Jesus rose from the dead. He interacted and walked along the road with two men and they didn't know who he was. And it reminded me of something that Jesus said. And it's in Matthew 25. And it's Matthew 25, verse 31. And it actually had, it's fairly lengthy, but I pulled an excerpt from it. It's quite a few verses in Matthew 25. but I'll read the first five or six here. Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate from them from one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set His sheep on His right hand, but all the goats on the left. And then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was prison, and you came to Me. And then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of the least of these, My brethren, you did it unto Me. Brothers and sisters, according to these verses here, Jesus hides among us. Sometimes Jesus may even look like the person you shook hands with here this morning. This week, as I pondered these and as I thought through these verses, I was coming up 222 and I got off at 322. And there was a man standing on the left-hand lane in the corner. He was a young man. He didn't look like he was very weak. It looked like he was a strong young man standing there with a sign, homeless. And in my mind, I immediately thought, of course he doesn't own a home. He's asking people to pay his rent. That's how I thought. And God said to me, what are you studying? Oh, yeah. What do these verses mean? And I was in the far right lane, and I was turning right, and there was nothing I could do. But as I turned that corner and left, well, yeah, I guess that could have been Jesus. I don't know. And I'm so thankful that we have the Holy Spirit to help us to discern. And we need to be keyed into Him to hear. But we are, and we do often rub shoulders with each other. And sometimes it's Jesus. And so much as we are to love like Jesus, we also become Jesus' hands. And as we love like Jesus, we become Jesus' feet. And as we comfort each other, we become as Jesus. And as we encourage each other, we become like Jesus to everyone that's around us. And when we become like Jesus, we proclaim Christ is risen. When we become like Jesus to those in prison, to those in need, when we become like Jesus, we proclaim over and over, Christ is risen. That's what we do when we become like Jesus. And let's stand and sing, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you.
Matthew chapter 20, reading at verse 19. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you."
But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Verse 20, it says, "And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." And I like that verse. I like that John added that second half to that verse. "Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." And I wonder what kind of joy and how they expressed that. To have all of that emotion and all of the trauma of what they just witnessed turn to joy and gladness. It would have been something to see. It's hard for me to imagine. And as I wondered about that interchange, and as I meditated on these verses, it seems that Jesus still did have the scars in his hands and his feet, and he still had a slit in his side, and he must have had other physical attributes from his death and his burial. And I thought of the song, "Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume." What do you think Jesus smelled like? You can find out in John 19, verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. And so he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And they took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. And suddenly, the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Wow. Those spices were meant to tone down the stench of decaying flesh. They must have been pretty strong. Imagine with me the wonderful aroma of our risen Savior on this blessed Easter morning. Our noses are powerful things. It feels like my nose can actually reach into my pocket and remove my wallet whenever I walk past the soft pretzel stand at Green Dragon. It makes me wonder this morning what heaven will smell like. See, if we can't imagine what it's going to look like, what is it going to smell like? I have no idea. But I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. Continuing on in John 20, verse 21. And so Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And brothers and sisters, he is speaking to us. Jesus blessed us this morning through this scripture. And if I can say, blessed are you who have not seen and yet you have believed. Blessed are we this morning. And it is amazing again that God and Jesus in that setting thinks of us. And yet he does. And again, it is a very appropriate that we stand and sing, "Crown Him with Many Crowns."
crowned with many
crowns, the Lamb upon his throne.
Continuing on in John 20, verse 39. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John was very specific that he wrote so that we would believe. It was read during the account of John 19 during communion. John wrote so that you would believe. That was his purpose. And when we choose to believe, we must act on our belief. To believe that Christ rose from the dead and that the tomb is empty, and not to live differently, is not possible. And I would say, if you don't live differently, then you must not truly believe. To believe that Christ rose from the dead changes us from the inside out, so that our hands do different things, so that our feet go different places, so that our hearts care differently than the world around us. And we, each one of us, take on the characteristics of Christ. We become Christians, Christ-like people. The last song is Amazing Love. John will lead us, and you may join into this song however you see fit, if you need to stand or kneel or sit, in whatever way you need to worship your King this morning, enter in. The lights are low, nobody can see you. Join in worship of your King and your Savior, who is alive and is risen indeed. Let's sing. So this week, if you're caught in a situation and you look around and you don't see Jesus, it's your turn. It's your turn to be Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, we again are humbled by your word this morning, that it is alive and that you are alive. God, we praise you for that this morning. We are thankful that we can worship you without fear this morning. God, we are so thankful that you have redeemed us. God, propel us from here. Shoot us like a slingshot into this world, that we would be who you are to our neighbors, to our relatives, to our coworkers, and to our bosses, and to our clients, and to our bank tellers. God, help us to say again and again, if not in our words, in our actions, that you, he is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. And let others see it through our hands and through our feet, that we could encourage those around us to follow you. We are so thankful for the way that you met us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Greet your brothers and sisters in the name of Christ.